Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and we have the fabulous producer, Jay, on the line with us. I cannot tell you how grateful I am to work with Jay every week. March of this year will make 7 years that I've been hosting this show. So we're at a solid 6.5 years, week after week, and Jay has been such a rock for me. So much comfort, and I'm just grateful. So I want to make sure that people know that because you don't get to hear him on this show. Tonight, it's nighttime for me in Malta. It's morning in California and mid-afternoon on the East Coast. And we are also connected to Israel tonight, this evening, or this show. We have Efrat Shokas, and she is in Israel and the author of the book, The Promise We Made, 3 Universal Soul Promises We Made to Our Children. What a poignant title and time to bring something like this into our consciousness. Efrat, thank you for being here and welcome to All About Healing.
Thank you, Emily. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
Are you from Israel?
I am from Israel, I would say crazy Israel these days, and I am in Israel, yes.
You would say crazy Israel these days. I tend to agree, but I would. How are you? How are you keeping safe? How are you feeling?
Safety is a complex issue here in Israel, not just for people that are referred to as Jewish Israelis, Arab Israelis, Palestine. Safety is an issue for all of us. I find that it's about cultivating inner subjective soul knowing of safety and also dreaming a different world and a different state for this area and for everywhere, which I'm praying for daily for all children deserve. Safety, food, roof, to be able to play outside safely, regardless of where they come from, the religious or background or affiliation or what their parents are choosing to do or not. So that's my prayer, that's my belief, which I'm holding faith and praying daily and dreaming a world into being in the shamanic perspective, knowing it is possible.
So, can we take a little sidestep, because this show, it's aired in 135 countries around the world, but I do tend to think that the United States is the largest set of listeners, and that's just my own opinion, maybe because I'm American, who has left the country and live in the Mediterranean now. But if you don't mind, I want you to go into more detail than you usually do about what your life looked like before the violence occurred and what your life looks and feels like now, so that people that are just brushing it off can listen to someone with firsthand experience and maybe pay a little bit better attention to what's happening in our world. Would you mind that?
I'd be happy to, but I will maybe begin by saying that, you know, it's a subjective experience. Because when we are in conflict, we tend to take sides. So I can share what's happening to me and my family, and I can hold, as a believer in the possible in humanity, the perspective for everyone. But it is a very complex situation to explain. So I want to be, cautious in what what I'm sharing. Conflict in Israel is something that I grew up with. Every 2 months, every few years, the conflict arises. It's an ancient conflict. And one piece of it is our relationship with our dear neighbors, the Palestinians, which I know we can live together in this land and deserve to live together in this land in ways that will work out. And the greater picture of the conflict is Muslim interests that are violent and are not related to possibilities that are keeping us in very old, I guess, paradigms. So this is something that comes and goes, and before I had my children, my daughters, I was hoping that they would not live these situations of having to run into the safe room and having missiles being shot around and hearing all the booms. I hoped that they would not know people that are killed in terror attacks and in the army service. And so forth. And sadly, I experienced these experiences as a child. As a teenager, I would always have the luck of not going, the bus before me would bomb, and the bus after me would bomb in a terrorist attack, and I would always be safe, which was always, I always look at it in retrospect, and I'm just really, really grateful. And unfortunately, as a mom, I can keep my daughters in kind of a bubble in what we share and what they know, but it's unavoidable. We are in central Israel, which is a more calm area, but people that live in the south of Israel are not in their house and they are constantly being attacked. And people in the north of Israel are also evacuated and are not in their homes and are constantly being attacked. So it's an impossible state of living for the people of Israel, Arab Israelis, Muslims, Christians, Jews, it doesn't matter. But then there's the other side, which I hold as well. Palestinians wanting to have a country, wanting to have a peaceful life, wanting to be their own rulers and making choices for themselves, and which I respect because I think this is a right for all humans regardless of where they're from. And sadly, both our leadership, and that's already an opinion, our leadership is, I don't understand our leadership decisions, not prioritizing releasing the kidnapped and continuously creating more chaos. And sadly, the Palestine decision-making is also being ruled by terrorist groups. And I think this is something people overseas don't really understand, that it's not just that what Israel is dealing with is complex. So I want to hold the diplomatic options, and I'm holding a vision for something different. But at the same time, I, as someone who's living here all of her life, other than a few years in the U.S., here and there. I also know it's very, very hard because it's not the Palestine people that we are dealing with. It's a terrorist group. The Hamas are terrorists. And people mix it. And it shouldn't be mixed. So it's very, very, I don't know if I'm giving a picture, but I'm trying to keep it balanced. It's really complex. It's really, really complex. But beyond it being complex and an ancient conflict, all people, all children deserve to live in peace, real peace, which I don't think we really know what really peace, real peace is. We've never lived it.
I've been grateful that you've offered this, and it's just... I live now in a neutral country. Malta is a neutral country. But that being said, we have cannons that go off every morning and fireworks that are going off almost every night. So it sounds, it's pretty traumatic on the nervous system for our animals and for our family because it's really abrasive and abrupt. But you know that you're safe. So it's a very different experience to hear those sounds morning and evening than what it is where you are. And I can't even begin to imagine what it is where you are, because as this conversation is going to unfold more, it's that we are both mothers and have children and the promises we've made to keep our children safe and protected, and that is, with many people, completely out of our control. And that, I mean, there is a lot of parts that are within our control. We left the country. We left the country during COVID, but that was so lucky and blessed and divinely guided. But for most people, they dream about leaving and going to a safer place, a place where you can drop your children at school and not be terrified that they're going to be shot. That here we don't do active shooter drills. Do you guys do active shooter drills for the kids?
No, but the kids, I homeschool my daughters, but in the school system, yeah, they practice like going to the safe rooms and going down to the shelters and all kinds of stuff like that, because you have to. You never know when it's going to come.
I think that is one of the most overwhelming. In fact, it was a few years ago. I was still living in the United States, and I have a friend from university who moved to Australia, and she had her children there. And she came home to visit, and I said, gosh, when you come home, does it make you miss it so much? Do you want to move back? And she said, Emily, honestly, I can't fathom moving my children to a place where I would have to talk about something like active shooter drills, where they would have to learn what those are, where we would have to have those discussions. And it went through me like a jolt. And I pulled my kids in homeschool the last year we were in the United States for that reason, too, that it was outrageous and terrifying. And I think in a lot of ways that's the goal. They want you to homeschool and join very tight religious groups instead of going to public school. And I think that's part of the goal. But it's, I mean, so you have your children at home, thank goodness. What steps do you take, though, to keep your children as protected as you can or as safe in their environment?
So up until what happened in October 7th, whenever we had these few weeks of missiles being shot into Israel all over the place, that meant staying home. And we are fortunate to have a safe room in the house. Most new houses in Israel have safe rooms, like for those built in the 20s, 30s last years. But people that live in older houses, they don't have that, because they can have a shelter they need to run to. And we would make fun of it. We would be dancing, and we had food, and if neighbors needed to come in as well, so we would have a party in the safe room. We made it fun when they were young. But what happened in October 7th, I think, violated the basic sense of safety for all Israelis. And that meant low frequency in terms of energy, not being able to hide it from children. People really did their best to hide it from their young ones. My daughters are teens now, so they know a lot of what happened. But we try to keep them, luckily they're not on their phones all day long, but part of what we're dealing with is a society now, and that is true to everyone in the area. Again, not just Jews, Arabs that are Arabs, Israelis, and Palestinians. It's all the horror movies that were running of rape. This was in the phones. Kids saw this. Kids had anxiety attacks. The society, as a society, the Israeli society is a very healthy and strong society, but it is broken in terms of the anxiety and stress that is penetrating. It's impossible to really keep safety. I'm lucky because we're in central Israel, which is fairly quiet, and we have our practices, energetic practices of meditating, connecting to guidance, keeping ourselves safe in the subjective manner. So for my specific family, this is very, very helpful. We feel safe because we feel safe at the soul level. And I try to do that also with my clients and the teams I work with. But for many others, there is no sense of safety. And until all the kidnapped will be home, and until the war will be over for the Palestinians and Israelis, and hopefully, finally, there will be some agreement that will allow them to have their own country, and the terrorists will be pushed away, and those thinking that revenge is away will be pushed away, and possibly will be able to start creating a sense of safety, peace, call soul parts back, so people can whole, walk whole, children can walk whole. It's a, again, it's a really, it's such a multi-layer situation.
And so can I ask you this, and I mean no disrespect, but do you plan to remain there, or do you have any thoughts of if we had the chance we would move elsewhere?
We spent time in the U.S. more than once. For the time now, we plan to remain here. We have a belief in all of this, in all people that live in this, on this land. We carry a dream that something needs to be different. If all those who hold this knowing that peace can reside here, we leave, then it will be impossible. That's one piece of our decision for now. We were not in Israel on October 7th. We were just finishing a few months in Europe of traveling and working, and we consciously decided to come back, and we knew exactly what we were coming back for, because this is a Jewish country, and with everything that happened in World War II, and my grandparents are all Holocaust survivors, we know what Jewish people need their land. And this is our land, but the fact that this is our land does not mean that others can't have their land here as well. And this is something that confuses a lot of people. It's not safe for Jewish people in a lot of places these days. And this is our home. This is where our family is. So for now, we are here and holding a dream for something better.
I definitely can appreciate that. And you know, I don't know. I don't think I have no plans to return to the United States unless I have to. Unless something happens where we have to go back, I feel immensely relieved to be in a safe, really safe place. I feel so safe, and I haven't felt like that. I can't even compare it to another time in my life where I felt this at peace in a physical surrounding. I think it's just it's a place that was always meant for me to come back to, or to find again, or find at all in this life. Now, there's a lot of questions that I have, because I know that you had a life-altering near-death experience from a car accident, and I want to ask you so much about that, but I don't want it to happen right before we go to a commercial break, which is like any minute now. So once we do come to a commercial break, I want to jump in to the other parts of your stories, especially right now, because I'm a huge I love the stories of near-death experiences of people who can come and tell us about it, because I'm profoundly fascinated and curious about it. But especially right now, in the times that we're in and how unpredictable the world is, having that faith, you know, I think it becomes much more unshakable from what I have gathered from people that have had that experience, and I'm so looking forward to hearing yours. But I'll ask you just the other question before we get into that. What made you decide to write the book?
It was larger than me. The book wrote itself. I never planned to be a writer, which I'm really enjoying to writing now. I just started writing as part of my healing process. And at some point in the writing, I realized I'm not writing for myself, and I need to gather the information in a way that would serve others. I know my story, but it was about sharing the story so it can serve others. And it just felt like a project that I just had to give this to those who need it, and trust it will reach those who need to read it, the parents who are struggling, parents who are looking to weave spirituality into their lives, walking the soul journey together with their children. So it just had to be written, I guess. That's the short answer.
Well, I like it. I like it so much because I know Jay is going to come in. You guys aren't going to hear him on the outside, but he'll give me the 1 minute cue, and it's right when I'll ask something else because the station going, and there he is. He just came in with the 1 minute cue, and that's what I wanted because I didn't want to start this in-depth of a conversation right before the commercial break. So don't worry, everybody. We have Efrat Shokef, and you can go to EfratShokef.com, and that, I'm going to spell it, E-F like Frank, R-A-T-S-H-O-K-E-F.com. And when you start to type it in, it'll come up for you. But we'll talk more about it and bring you to her website after this.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing. I'm your host, Emily Francis, and today's guest is Efrat Shokef, Ph.D. She is the author of the book, The Promise We Made, Three Universal Soul Promises We Made to Our Children. If you are looking for a soulful, spiritual, deep, guided path as a parent, this is the show for you. But let's start with you, Efrat, if that's okay. I want to go into your story because I know that your life was profoundly transformed by a near-fatal car crash, and I would really like to let you have the floor to share that with us.
So it's interesting. I'm being asked this question, and each time I feel there is a different piece or a different spot I need to begin with. I was always intuitive, but I ignored myself. It was really, really scary for me as a child. I didn't get the guidance I needed, I didn't know who to ask. And in a way, I guess the car crash and this near-death experience that happened at the same time were a gift to awaken me. A few days before the car crash took place, I held a mom's circle in my house to celebrate my twins' first year, sleepless year, being really happy and grateful for everything coming together. And in the circle, we invited a very specific question. Each mom was invited to share what motherhood means for her. And I was last in the circle as a host, and I couldn't say a word. I was choking on my own words. Everything I planned to say did not come out of my mouth, and all I managed to whisper was, I want to be their mom. Which later,
oh, wow.
In retrospect, I can understand as a prayer, and my invitation to the other moms sharing what motherhood means for them basically took me on my quest of what motherhood is. So a few days later, a car crash, I was severely wounded, multiple injuries, bleeding from everywhere, many broken bones. In the book, I go into the details of everything just to get that essence of a complete invitation to reorganize my body. I couldn't come back to what I was because everything was... I needed to heal at many layers in my physical and energetic. And at the same time, I had the near-death experience, which seems unrelated to the situation. I was just out of my body, flying and soaring into luminosity, and experiencing being perfect as I am, accepted, loved, being reminded that I am love, I am love, myself is made out of love. And as I integrated this experience when I came back, which took a lot of time because I first needed to heal physically and find the words to express and describe something that it's impossible to describe other dimensions and the feeling we have in other dimensions, including in near-death experience and in other transcendence experiences. It's impossible to describe. There are no words, not in Hebrew, not in English. I don't know about other languages. It's really hard to describe. So it took me a long time to integrate it and understand that if I am love, so is everybody else. And it changed my whole perspective on everything, including parenting, which I focus on in the book.
When you had that near-death experience, I know you said I can't describe it, but did anyone come to you? Or was it you just soaring and feeling the energy of the other dimension, or did anyone greet you?
So at first I was floating forward, and at some point, at first I was alone, and then I noticed there were others floating forwards with me, which I now understand these were souls that were departing, people that have died and souls that have left. And then I started noticing that other beings were coming towards them. Some had a more human form, some of more of a luminous form, some more of orbs of light. They were coming towards those others floating forward with me and embracing them, and they moved forward. And at some point I couldn't float forward with others. I didn't really mind. It's just something I noticed, that I'm not moving forward as they were. And then a luminous being came towards me. I recognized this at the time as my grandfather, but I always wonder, and I've never asked this again to check, but if it was indeed my grandfather or it was my luminous guidance, which I recognized the frequency of, taking the form of my grandfather so that I would feel comfortable and safe and allow the interaction. Was the most loving interaction, he took me after some greetings, and which is the communication is telepathic. It's like it's not in words and it's not in thought. It's energetic. He took me to a balcony, and kind of a balcony that was, I don't know if Earth was floating below the balcony, if the balcony was floating above other spaces of Earth, but I was invited to observe and see a lot of human aspects, a lot of human interactions. both very happy ones and both and also very sad and painful ones. As if experiencing the richness and the complexity and the challenges of humanity. And then at some point I was given the message, I'm ended, you need to go back now. There wasn't a question of me staying in this amazing place. It was very clear that I need to go back, and it felt a long time in terms of, it felt like days, but in terms of earthly time, it was a few minutes, and I was back in my body, screaming for pain.
Yeah. Wow. I have one more question about that particular experience. When you were floating, was it fast or was it not fast? Like, it just, in my mind, the way it's putting it is like it just seems really fast. What was it?
It's not fast, not at all. It felt, I think that if we observe it from the outside, it may look fast, but it does not feel fast at all. It's very calm. It's very nurturing. It's different beings and souls float in their own rhythm. But when we compare it to our earthly experience, and a lot happens in a few minutes of human life.
I think that's happening more and more here on the earth plane, that so many things are happening at once and we're having a hard time sort of sifting through because mm-hmm. we're not quite as advanced to do it, but I think that is starting to happen here. But we got to take another commercial break. See how fast that went? We're going to pick up right where we left off. We're here with Efrat Shokef, PhD. She's the author of the book, The Promise We Made. 3 universal soul promises we made to our children. And we're going to talk about those 3 promises when we come back.
Trauma or joy, shame or happiness, guilt or empowerment. Let Emily's new book, Healing Ourselves Whole, be the bridge to help you release negative emotions to help you heal on every level to create more joy, more health, and more vitality. Our body knows what we might forget. It's time to rearrange your inner conversation into spectacular health and happiness, and Healing Ourselves Whole is your step-by-step guide. Find out more at EmilyAFrancesBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
You may never totally understand this man-woman emotional connection thing, but now you can understand your muscles' emotional connection in regards to your health. That's right, your muscles have an emotional connection. And if you want an easy-to-use blueprint to understand your muscles' emotion, then get Emily A. Francis's book, The Body Heals Itself. It helps you activate and heal your muscles on an emotional level. So indeed, the body heals itself. Plus, it's filled with tools you can use immediately. Find out more at EmilyAFrancesBooks.com. Buy The Body Heals Itself now.
The Bright Side of Talk. HealthyLife.net.
You
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to All About Healing, and thank you for listening and for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to us. I think Efrat has so much information to share with us, and now we're going to go into the things that are that we can take away from this beautiful conversation. At the time of the accident and the near-death experience, had you already had all three of your children?
Yes. My first was a little over three, and my twins were 13 months old.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, yes. That must be incredibly stressful. So when you were able to start recovering physically, spiritually, energetically, emotionally, and everything in between, there are three universal soul promises we made to our children. Can we go over? Like, can you actually say what those three promises are?
Yes. So maybe I'll take half a step back. As I was integrating, I was recovering physically, finding my way back to the new life that was inviting me to create, and not my old life. The one motive I had was to be my daughter's mother. I was absent for a long time, both because I was in the hospital, then coming in and out because of more operations and treatments, and also because I was unable to do any of the doings. And I was looking for answers to two questions that were leading me, like threads that are woven into the book and led to the three promises that we made. One question was, what makes me their mom? It was very, very hard for me to recognize that. The doings that I was very active, I was devoted, loving doing, but the doing does not define me as their mom, and definitely not when I was absent and not the one doing all the activities of cooking, laundry, playing, hugging, nothing. It was just, everything was by other loving adults in the family. And the other thread that was leading me was, wow, I just had this most amazing experience, which I later learned was called a near-death experience, and how do I share this story with my daughters, but not as their mom's story, but as something that they can live. And this led me over time to ask, what is it that makes me their mom? What promises did I make to them? What obligations maybe I have to them? And then to distinguish and to understand, and I'm jumping a little bit to the difference
between personal
and universal soul promises, because your children shows you, because of your personality, your brave decision to live in the U.S. and live in Malta because of what the vision you had for your life. My daughters chose me for my personality and life conditions. But then the book shares not what the personal agreement and promises hold, because that is very individual for each child and each parent. What is it that we all promise our children? What all souls and or beings being born in human form expect? How do we create the conditions that will allow our children to lead their life in this pure joy? Because when we live in pure joy of alignment, of soul and human form alignment, we have some moments that are filled with pure whole joy that is exactly like I felt in my near-death experience in other dimensions, floating in love. And then that's when the downloads of the three promises came, and they are very simple. It's not anything new in terms of spiritual truthness, but with maybe through my story and with an emphasis of how we can work with these promises with our children. The first one is truth. How do we, children are born knowing their truth, their spiritual, their essence truth, and then we tell them, no, you do like bananas, after they clearly didn't want to eat the bananas, or no, you're not tired now because we want them to go to sleep an hour or later, or, oh yes, this aunt is really, really nice because we love our aunt and we want her to hold our baby, but our baby does not like her energy. And we confuse them from very, very early on, and then they end up being adults that don't know what their truth is. and don't know who they are. And it starts from early on. And in the book, I go into a lot of examples and ways of how we can nurture our own truth and our children's truth. So that's the first promise. The second promise focuses on attentiveness. We can't know our truth if we're not stopping to take a breath and ask what is it that we know within. And I think this is becoming even more important with all the social media and AI. We don't know if the future is real now or not. And the only thing we can know for sure is what our truth, our inner truth, tells us. But we don't know the signs and posts of our journey if we can't listen. And kids know how to listen. They play in the mud and they're doing something and their eyes are open and we don't think they're meditating, but they're actually very connected. So the second promise focuses on our promise to nourish their ability to listen to their own truth. And that's like in really brief outlines. And the third promise focuses on our promise as parents or other significant adults. You know, it doesn't have to be biological parents. They're often adults choose the adoptive parent. They choose a step-parent. They choose grandparents. They choose other significant adults to be part of their lives and part of the guidance that they need. And it's to be in motion. It's to be aware that we are on a shared journey and take responsibility for everything that we can and do what we need to do in terms of healing, deep, deep, deep soul healing and changing our habits, at all layers. Because we don't know what signs and posts we put for our journey. Something can happen and I can say, oh, yeah, this is a sign I gave for myself for this and this phase of my development. But we don't know all the details. We don't know what we can. It's like a secret we keep from ourselves. And the same is true for our children. So the only way that we can really guide our children is by walking our own essence. And then we reflect the example. Then we reflect the behavior and what they want us to model in their choice in us as parents. And we also communicate an extremely important energetic communication to our kids, saying, you are on a journey, and I am trying my best, and stay true to your truth. Because as soon as they see us in emotion, trying to be aligned, trying to change, even if we have a long way to go, then that communication goes through. So these are the three promises. Emotion.
I love it. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break. We're coming into our last segment of the show today, Emily's Energy Corner, which isn't really going to change because we're keeping Efrat on the line, but we'll be right back.
Emily A. Francis's new book, The Taste of Joy, Mediterranean Wisdom for a Life Worth Savoring, is all about heartfelt hints on attaining the most healthiest, fun, and inspiring life. By adding a bit of the Mediterranean lifestyle into your life, you'll explore the wisdom of eating mindfully, seasonally, and locally, as well as discover Mediterranean family secrets to health and happiness. And it's all in The Taste of Joy. Get your copy today at Amazon.com or visit EmilyAFrancisBooks.com.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
If you have low vision or are blind, then listen up. There's now high-visibility trendy sports clothing available just for you. At AwareWolfGear.com, you'll find attractive, stretchy, warm hoodies, headgear, leggings, even kids' wear to fit the duality of blindness, the need to be seen without drawing needless attention. Check out these trendy clothes for yourself or for someone you know at AwareWolfGear.com. That's AwareWolfGear.com. AwareWolfGear.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Emily's Energy Corner, which means anything goes, kind of. We have Efrat Shokuf on the line. She is the author of an incredible book, The Promise We Made, Three Universal Soul Promises We Made to Our Children. And you can get it. Where can they buy your book?
On Amazon and also in other bookstores, and you can ask your small bookstore to order it for you. So everywhere, basically.
Wonderful. Please go get this book. Now, I was just starting this conversation on the break, and then I realized I don't want to have the conversation on the break because I think it's too important. And I was telling Effa that yesterday, my children are 10 and 12, and we decided to do, I've been introducing them to my yoga practice this summer. So this whole summer we've been trying to do some yoga. My youngest has not been particularly interested. My oldest is, but she says it's hard. But they both do acrobatic dance, so really it's very much similar poses. It's just that in yoga you hold them a lot longer, and you have to learn how to come into yourself and breathe your way through, kind of sink into your body and be there. But what I've, and then last year was the first time I had the gift of teaching at my oldest daughter's school. And I taught, they take a class called Social and Emotional Learning. I love this British school that's here in Malta. They just really, they were very well-rounded teaching for the children of their whole selves. And they let me come in and guest teach on emotional regulation and how we can feel in our bodies and help our bodies and our minds guide. And I was saying that your breath and your thoughts are married. So if you can calm your breath, you can calm your thoughts. If you calm your thoughts, your breath naturally calms. They go together. They're always together. So it was a really important and fascinating thing to get to go teach. And I sometimes think our children listen to us a little bit more when other people are listening to us than when it's just us, or sometimes other teachers need to be the ones to share information. And I've personally worked hard not to make my children clones of myself. I think that's really important, that even though I'm on a very deep spiritual path, it doesn't necessarily mean that my path is their path. But I don't want to keep them away if they're curious or want to be part of it. But that's something that you started to talk about, and I want to pick up from what you were saying.
Yeah, it's, you know, our children are not, their path is not necessarily our path, but they did choose us for a reason. So this reason can be about their trust that we will fulfill our own promise to ourselves and become our essence, and that we would provide them the conditions to learn what they need. And sometimes it's on the opposite side, that so that they will not be teaching yoga or practicing yoga, but those practices, we teach them to brush their teeth, we teach them that physical exercise is important, and knowing how to tune down, using yoga, how to go inside, how to hold your pose. There's so many gifts in those, and there are so many modalities. So each child and each family can find their own modality. But these are things that are so nourishing for us adults, and kids need them just as much as part of our nourishment to help them be stay who they are and not get the noise of the world pushing them outside of themselves.
I think that's important. I think that's very important. I want to make sure that people that are listening get your messages. What are the things that you find the most important to anybody who's listening to the show? What are the things you want to leave with people that are hoping to become more conscious parents?
So I think that based on what we what came up in our conversation, first, the mere awareness that our children are on a journey just like we are changes the perspective and changes everything. Once we notice that and accept and realize and that they're not just dependent little ones. They are huge souls, huge evolved beings, and that we are on a shared mutual journey. So we start walking together because we respect each other, because we're learning from each other, because we're growing together, and not because one has to tell the other what to do and fit them into some box. So I think that's one piece that is really, I know it helps. As soon as we open up to this idea that we're on a shared journey, something changes, and I invite those listening to us to explore that, either as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, seeing them in as who they are in their luminosity, not in their physical, dependent, little children. And the second thing is what we just wrapped up in the last moment, share your spiritual practices with your children or with the children around you. Share the language. Children see energy. Children communicate with angel and guidance. They have a lot of experiences, but we don't share the language with them. And if we don't share the language, we take their own essence away because they can't express it. So it's something they don't talk about, and then it starts to sleep within them instead of being awakened and having their essence dance. And when we see babies, we see this beauty, we see the luminosity, and it's all about nurturing that in them and in us so that we can give them the model and the examples that they need. So I guess these are the two elements important for today.
I think those are beautiful. You know, I had something happen recently where my child had something happen in her dance class, actually, with the teacher. And I remember picking her up, and she cried all the way home, but she would not talk about it, would not. And I tried to gently, you know, ask some questions, and she was like, not. And I thought, okay, she needs to process. I'm sure that I've heard the dance teacher yells because they're getting more competitive, and my older daughter deals with the same teacher. So I really let it go. And I didn't push the next day, and I thought that if there was something, she would tell me. 6 months later, they're doing this dance workshop, and a little girl from her school class joined this workshop. And she's standing there with her mom. We're out in the parking lot, and she looks at my daughter, and she says, well, I definitely didn't sign up for that after what you told me what happened to you. And I am, like, flabbergasted because I always think that my children and I have a really open sense of communication. And the teacher smacked her in the back when she wasn't getting her legs correct, and she's dyslexic, so her right and left are very difficult. And I can't help but think that she didn't tell me because she knows I would have absolutely gone for the fight with the teacher, like that I would have, and she just didn't want me to go at it. And I just, it really broke my heart. We've had a lot of conversations around it, but I know that the show is just about to be over, but whatever came to your head, what can I do to make sure that I ensure I'm the safe person or that she has a village around her that she can trust?
One, communication. I think that when we share what happens to us and also the difficult stuff, our kids have it increases the chances that they will share with us when stuff like this happens. And what I also believe is two tools that are really important, teaching our children to journal so that they have an outlet, and possibly sharing our journal with them at moments with permission so they would share their journal with us as well if they can't talk about something. And also the respect of saying, no, this is what happened to me, but I don't want you to interfere. And communication with their own guidance, because this way, maybe they don't want to talk to us, but they always have who to talk to within them. And, briefly.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, Efrat Shokef, PhD, The Promise We Made, 3 Universal Soul Promises We Made to Our Children. It's been such an honor to have you on this show. Please be safe. I send you all much love. Make it a great week.
Emily A. Francis offers you a unique approach to healing that works directly within the memory systems of your body. Healing Ourselves Whole is a groundbreaking interactive book containing everything you need to clean your emotional house from top to bottom, including journal prompts and audio meditations, all to help you dig deep into your past, change the dialogue, and let go of the pain and trauma to have a joyful and fully empowered life. Find out more at EmilyAFrancisBooks.com and buy Healing Ourselves Whole at Amazon.com now.
Now there's hope for authentic healing. A new book by Emily A. Francis, Whole Body Healing, Create Your Own Path to Physical, Emotional, Energetic, and Spiritual Wellness, can help you discover a deeper way to approach your healing instead of using just the usual mainstream medical single methods. With Whole Body Healing and its extensive background of research, you'll be able to create your own healing path to achieve true and lasting results. Pre-order Whole Body Healing now at Amazon.com. You won't want to miss this priceless information. Whole Body Healing at Amazon.com by Emily A. Francis.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.